We have two scripture lessons this morning. The first is from Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. So listen for the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our second scripture lesson is from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And as we reflect upon it this morning, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all our thoughts so that all may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. The choir director got up in front of the congregation and announced that the choir would be singing Till the Whole World Knows. The choir director's daughter was sitting in a pew, turned to her mother and said, "This is going to take a long, long time." I don't know about that girl, but I know I could listen to our choir as long as they were singing. Thank you for that gift. Today we celebrate God's gift of music, especially those whose music gifts inspire us. Every Sunday we come here and are blessed to have these men and women behind me sing for us, all dressed up in their new green robes. We are blessed to have a choir director who always seems to choose the right piece of music for every Sunday. Every Sunday we are blessed by the instrumental talents of our organist who puts in long hours getting ready to set the proper mood for us each week. And on some Sundays we are blessed with the musical talents of our members and guests, like Valerie this morning, like Todd and Kim on other Sundays, and several others over the years who share their love of music with us. In short, music fills this place to overflowing, and we all benefit from it. And what's more, this church has a history of helping others benefit from the music that overflows from this place. We have been a host of many concerts over the year, featuring the musical talents of individuals, groups, and whole choirs. Sometimes one of our own will present one of these concerts, like Bev will be doing in a little over a month. Practicing hard, are you? Okay. We're looking forward to it. Our church has welcomed a host of recitals, practices, contests, and rehearsals over the years by various groups who are outside the church. But no, this is a wonderful place to do those things. And why shouldn't the church be filled with music? Music has been part of our worship of God from the very beginning. From the songs of Miriam celebrating the successful crossing of the Red Sea, to the famous harp of David, to the hymns that the disciples sang after the Last Supper, to the trumpets of Revelation. Music covers the span of the Bible and expresses our human longing for God. And why not? Music has a way of touching us in ways that no other medium can. Thomas Carlyle wrote that music is the speech of angels, and perhaps he's right. I firmly believe that it is the speech of the soul, for it is music that both comforts and inspires us in ways that words alone will never do. Henry Giles once said, "A song will outlast all the sermons in memory." See if that isn't true. Indeed, the psalm that Abby read this morning tells us that music should be a central part of the praise of God. Listen again to the middle of that psalm. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praising God with music. Music from the trumpet, the harp, the tambourine, the pipe, and even the cymbals. All music just for our God. And then comes the line that was written just for me. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. In the midst of all that music. For those of you who know me, I am not much of a singer. When I was in high school, all the kids were in the choir. And there was a part, you notice one part, just the men were singing. So there was a part we were singing, just the boys were singing. The choir director kept telling me to get softer. Just me. Softer, Mark, softer, Mark. There you go. I can sing where I know no one will hear, like in the car. I can do that well, with gusto. But the psalmist does not let me off the hook. He says, everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Let every creature in creation make music to our God, even me, even you. For you see, there is music inside of me, even if I don't have the equipment or the training to get it out. It is still there inside of me and you, which is what Paul was saying in his letter to the Ephesians when he wrote these words that we heard this morning. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts. Making melody with the Lord, to the Lord in your hearts. That is praise for God through music. I first understood this when I was in high school, when they made me be quiet. But there was another time when our high school choir, the choir director took the boys in the high school choir and joined with the men of the adult choir for a special Sunday choir of men and boys. What came from that joint gathering of male voices was one of the most inspiring sounds I ever heard. Certainly, it was the most inspiring sound that I was ever part of. I don't even remember what we sang, but I remember the sound of our joint voices, and it sent chills up my spine. It was then that I understood that there was music inside of me, and that through music I can connect with the holiness of God. Make music to the Lord in our hearts. For Paul gave more than a description of worship in this line. He gave us a description of the Christian life. Paul began that paragraph with these words, "Be careful how you live." For Paul, worship was not limited to the sanctuary. Worship was something that we did all day long. From the minute we wake up in the morning until the moment sleep overtakes us, we are worshiping God. And so we might want to be careful how we live, because living is our worship of God. The attitude that we bring to the day is our opening hymn. And our reflections at the end of the day become our closing hymn. And the way we treat others is our sermon for the day. And the times that we care for others in need become the practical version of our prayers of the people. We make our offering by sacrificing our time for others. And when we pay attention to children in our midst, we are reenacting the especially for children in our worship. And when we resist the temptations of life, we are, in a very real way, affirming our faith. Thus, each day becomes a worship service in and of itself, and each moment becomes a moment to praise God. And how does Paul instruct us to keep all this together? How does Paul tell us that we can be, how we can be careful with our daily lives? It's simple. Paul tells us to make music to the Lord in our hearts. And this isn't a bad way to live. How would our days be if we spent the day making music to the Lord in our hearts? How much better would your day begin if you woke up singing, "Morning is Broken"? And what would be better than starting work by humming the hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee"? And when you have a particularly tough part of the day, wouldn't it be a great idea to sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound"? And as a reminder of how much we need God, and when we make tough decisions, wouldn't "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah" be in a perfectly appropriate hymn? And why not, at the end of the day, sing "All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night"? I'm not sure that's what Paul had in mind, but I do think he knew that our worship is not limited to this hour on the Sabbath or this place in our world. Our worship of God is a daily activity, and the tone of our heart is what keeps it that way. Thus, if we find ways to praise God each day, then we will find that we are making music to God in our heart, even if the ways that we find to praise God are monotone. The music that we share here this morning, the anthem, the prelude, the postlude, the hymns, the offertory, this is our music for the week. What we hear this morning in some way is intended to be part of us, not only for this morning, but for tonight and tomorrow and each day after that. For music is our praise of God, and our praise of God is our lives all through the week. Which brings me back to the words of the choir director's daughter. This is going to take a long time. And we and God will enjoy every minute of it. Amen.